I'm not crying anymore, oh, because I praise the Lord. I've been laughing all day long because of my Lord. Depression doesn't faze me anymore. Anxiety is gone because of my Lord.
It's time. Hey, everybody, welcome to Lost Light and Laughter, an uplifting show about laughter after tragedy. I'm your host, Michelle A. If you're ready for some inspiration and laughter in your life, you've tuned in to the right show.
It's time to show love, everybody. Show love one time. He's strong enough to fight my battles. I know he'll never give me more than I can handle. My Lord, my King, the one that I do love.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lost Light and Laughter. I'm your host, Michelle A. And today we have another guest with us. This is Jesse Cruz. I met him on the Great American Speak Off. Jesse, come on in. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, first and foremost, thank you, Michelle, for having me. My name is Jesse Cruz. I'm from Rochester, New York. What I love to do is this, is I love every moment I get to have with people and create a safe space and healing environment for them to share their story and change their life. Because I believe that when you get the right people in the right room, right opportunities can happen. And it's all about creating that space for people to become the best versions of themselves through storytelling.
Amen. I love that. Well, Jesse, as you know, the name of the show is called Lost Light and Laughter. Talk to the audience. Tell them about a significant loss that you've experienced in your life. Now you have the freedom to share as much or as little as you like, but just we ask that you just be transparent with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Years ago, my wife and I, we were praying for a child, and we were blessed with a baby girl. She was born 4 months early, so she was only 1 pound and could fit in the palm of my hand. Our baby girl, her name was Faith, and God knew we needed it because of her condition. It was a roller coaster ride, every day full of ups and downs. And so she was never even supposed to be born alive. So the simple fact that she was born at all became a complete miracle. And 42 days of her fighting for her life, she passed away. And it was the worst moment of my entire life. Words cannot even begin to describe that kind of pain. And leaving that hospital empty-handed and brokenhearted, we had to go through that grieving process and attempt to rebuild our lives, but we were completely crushed. And what I've learned, you know, from that is, you know, this little 1 pound girl that no one has even met before has now been able to cause this ripple effect of impact to people all over the world, you know? And if this little 1 pound girl can cause that much of an impact, just imagine what we as adults can do when we keep fighting and never give up.
Jesse, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so sorry about your loss. A lot of times we hear from the mom's perspective of losing a child, but there's not a lot of stories of the dad's perspective and what it feels like to be a father that's lost a child. Can you tell the audience a little bit about what you felt as a father, as a man? Like, how did you really handle that kind of loss and that grief?
In the beginning, I didn't handle it. I just kept my feelings to myself, went into a dark depression, didn't find value in the point of living anymore. It was destroying my marriage. I became just a person with nothing but darkness surrounding me for a while. What got me through it is my relationship with God. And eventually when I decided to heal, you know, went to counseling, went to therapy, individual, group, family, marriage, all these different forms of counseling, leaned on my church community. And one of the biggest things that helped me to heal was sharing my story. So I started writing, you know, written multiple books, started sharing my story from stage, creating that space for people to also heal through their pain.
Yeah. Oh my, that's so... that's a lot. I know sometimes we hear men, they are wanting to fix it and you can't. When it's a life and death situation like this, humans can't fix it. No matter how much we try and we want to, how long was the grieving process for you and your wife?
Forever.
Thank you for saying that it wasn't a time where you just stopped grieving. Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. So how did your faith come into play? Like, where is God in all of this? Were you and your wife, were you believers at the time? Did you pray a lot? I know you named the baby Faith. And so, I mean, it had to come from somewhere. Where was your faith? Where is God? Where is the light in all of this?
Well, I mean, I had faith, before she was born, and then even after her passing, I didn't stop believing in God. But what I did was, all I did was become angry at God and wondered if he had forgot about me, or that he left me, or that if he cared about me. So I had that internal battle for so long. And I've learned that whether my daughter lived or she died, that had no influence on the reality of God. Because God is not circumstantial. If I pray for something, I get what I want, does not mean that God is better than if he didn't give me what I wanted. Because God is outside of time and circumstances and what we're experiencing, because that's how massive and amazing that God is. And we try to fit him into a circumstance of our life, and then if it doesn't pan out the way that we want it, and then we question God's existence. I think even though my daughter passed away, I believe that God was there the whole time. And I had a scripture in our room. My wife had put it up, and it said Psalm 46:5, and it says, God is within her. She will not fall. He will help her at break of day. And I was reading that scripture as she was passing away. And every single day I would read that scripture before that day. And then after she passed away, I realized what that scripture was saying, because I thought in the morning he would save her and she would live. And in the morning of February 16th, he did save her. She did live. It just wasn't on earth. Sometimes scripture is not for what happens on earth, it's what happens in heaven. And I realized that that verse was not about earth, it was about heaven.
I'm glad you said that, because there are many times with so many losses in my life, I felt the exact same way. I wanted God to be circumstantial. Okay. I wanted the happy ending. I wanted to say, hey, I applied the scripture and look, the miracle. Yay, God. I wanted all of that. And it didn't happen for me that way. How long did it take for you to understand and realize, okay, God was always there, he was loving me? How long did it take for you to get that revelation from the scripture?
I would say it took me quite a few months afterwards. When I wrote about it in my book, I was like, the scripture came to my mind, and I was like, that's what he was trying to say in this verse. Like, God promises are still true. And no matter how I feel about them, it's just his version and my version of that scripture was different. I was thinking on this physical earth. And God was like, no, it's beyond that.
Thank you so much for being so transparent and saying that, because I understand in life it's going to take some time to accept God's will. I wish we can just, a situation can happen, we can just accept it and go on. But sometimes we lament. We lament for months and sometimes years. And to hear that it took you some time to actually understand and see the light, you can see God's hand and his love in your life and in Faith's life. I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that. And I know it's going to help our listeners, because it takes some time. It's not instantaneously all the time. Sometimes it's just going to take some time for us to actually see how God is moving and how he's healing and what he's actually doing in our lives. So I know you mentioned before that you're going to be grieving forever. But after Faith's passing, when did you and maybe your wife or just family or friends or whoever it is, like, when did you get the laughter part? Where did laughter come in into your life after that?
I would say we did something that was pretty special shortly after she passed away. My wife said, I think we need to go away for a little while and get out of here. So we actually jumped on a plane shortly after and we're like, we just got to get away from this. We went on a vacation, went to California. Met with some dear friends, spent some time as a family for most of it, and then met up with a couple of people that we loved and cared about. And I remember just being on that trip, and we went out and explored nature and still found beauty during the pain and found a way to, my girls find a way to make me laugh, and they cheered me up, and it was just a beautiful time.
Do you recommend after a loss to maybe travel and get away from your surroundings? Because as a coach, I do recommend that there are times when you have to get away because everything reminds you of it.
I think it's hard to heal in the same environment that wounded you. And when you remove yourself from the environment for a little bit of time, it gives you space to grieve. It gives you a new environment to get new perspectives. So I would recommend, I mean, you don't have to go far, but I think just getting away from maybe your hometown or your home city, wherever you live, for just a few days is something that will be helpful.
Is there a particular thing that just always makes you laugh, no matter what it is? I know you said your girls always have a way of making you laugh. Is there a particular story you would like to share with the audience?
About what makes me laugh.
Yeah, maybe something silly they did or said.
I would say, I don't know how I still remember this. My daughter, Haley, while we were on the trip, she just out of nowhere, because she's a very reserved kid, so she doesn't talk very much. And she started singing this random song I had never heard before, right? And it went something like this, and it just made me laugh. She goes, out of nowhere, we're just like on a hike, it's dead silent, and in the middle of the silence she goes, way down in the valley where nobody goes, there's a wishy-washy woman counting her crows. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ugh. And I was like, what the heck? And it just made me laugh because I was like, where does this even come from? Like, it was just so random out of nowhere. And it just made me, we all busted out laughing because it was just so
I
random.
love
It was like
it.
dead
I love
silent.
How old was she at the time? Because I sound like something like a pre-K, like kindergarten kind of thing.
That's what was shocking about it, because she was not anywhere near pre-K. So she was like 10. So we're like, that's what made it so funny, because it was like her younger child version coming out again at the age of 10. So it was just funny.
That's cute. Cute, cute, cute. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because kids will do some things like that just out of nowhere. I get it. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So, Jesse, talk to our audience about what any advice or last minute pointers, things that you can think of along your path that you said, okay, I need to do this. Because there may be, and I know there are dads out there that are grieving. I have witnessed a number of men in my life that have lost children, and they all grieve differently. Is there something that you would share with the men?
Yeah, I would encourage them to have other men in your life that you can just be real with. A man that will love and respect you for who you are, have enough strength to be weak, meaning be vulnerable and share what you've been through. And I believe that's one of the best ways to heal is when you talk about it.
That's good. Do you have any advice for maybe women, in a sense, because I've seen men shut down? And their wives are just like pulling their hair out, trying to figure out, like, what can I do? I know he's hurting. He won't talk to me. Do you have any advice for the women to let him know, like, he's there, he's feeling it, but he may not know how to articulate things?
Man, so I would say that for the from a woman's perspective, dealing with a man is that the woman would have to create an environment for the man to vent how he feels when he's not grieving as well. So if the woman has not created a safe environment where she feels like the husband can speak and the woman can listen, the man is not going to come to the woman when he's in trouble and stressed out, because in the everyday-to-day stuff, he didn't feel like he had that ability to do that to begin with. So I think that's a part of it. I think a lot of men don't feel like they can be open and honest with their wives or their girlfriends, right? And I think that's because men don't feel heard. And it's not because the women are doing something wrong, but I think it's because the man feels like he always has to put the woman's feelings first. And therefore, he, by default, feels like he's always second in the relationship, as far as being able to express emotions and feelings. So he would just rather not, because he's been taught, I need to be the strong one for the woman. Therefore, he will not talk about it. And so I think the woman would have to be extra intentional when they're not in crisis to create that safe space to talk about how everyone's actually feeling. Not wait for the man to be in complete crisis and stress mode and be like, well, why is he not talking to nobody? He wasn't talking to nobody before that crisis. We just didn't notice.
Thank you so much. That's a lot of wisdom right there. And I appreciate you sharing that because I know a lot of times I've seen it. I've seen it with my own two eyes when there's grief in the middle of a couple, everyone runs to the woman for comfort.
Oh,
She
yeah.
lost her child. She lost her child. But he lost his child too. And it's almost like the man sometimes becomes invisible. Because we're focusing on just, the woman. And these are two people that both left their child. So I appreciate you saying that. And I know that it's going to help some women that are listening to the show and creating a safe space and an environment where both people can grieve in the best way possible. Because when you're in the midst of grief and sadness, like you can't, you're not gonna do everything right. It's not gonna all be perfect. But you're gonna try and you're gonna have that understanding. And I love the fact that you and your wife are believers and you know how to pray and you can both rely on God in the middle of all of this. And so we can see how, you experience the loss. We see the light in that you both rely on God and communication with amongst each other and amongst other believers. And then you see the laughter where even in the midst of grief, you can still laugh again. And it's still, and you're still able to feel laughter and experience laughter and pain at the same time. So I appreciate you sharing all of that. And I know you mentioned that you have a book. Can you please tell the audience where they can, the name of your book, where they can find it, where they can find you in case they wanted to reach out and talk to you a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so the book that shares the story about our daughter and that whole entire experience we've been talking about is titled Losing Faith, Finding Hope, and that's on Amazon.
Wasn't they finding hope on Amazon? Awesome. So what I will do is I'll put a link in the description box. So if there's anyone that wants to check out the book, they can find it there. Also, Jesse, tell the audience where they can find you.
Yeah, the best way to connect with me is right on Facebook. So Jesse Cruz, I'm right on there. Send me a DM, comment, let's have a conversation.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Jesse, I want to thank you once again for coming on, sharing your story. Thank you for being so transparent. And then thank you for the wisdom that you left for the men and the women so that they can get the help that they need as they're processing their grief. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And this concludes this episode of Lost Life and Laughter.
Everybody show love one time. It's time to give praise, everybody. Give praise one time, yeah. It's time to show love, everybody. Show love one time.